Turn to Psalm chapter number 122. I preached this Wednesday night over at Brother Dave's. And
he's gone, so he won't
hear. He's gone, so Psalm chapter number 122. Preacher, thank you so much for letting us come. I tell you, sure enjoy getting to come to the place where there's friends and people who pray for us. I tell you, it's such a blessing. You pray about our bus. Back in June, we blew the engine going to West Virginia and put it in the shop. We bought a used engine, put it in there. The reason we went with the used engine, remanufactured, was $35,000, and we just didn't feel like putting that much into this bus would be beneficial for us. We're looking at a new bus, maybe, or another bus. We've kind of outlived this one. And when we got the bus back with the new engine, the place where we had it worked on, they left bolts loose, put bolts in backwards, tore our rear differential up. I say rear end, I'm getting my rear end looked at, but our differential is what it's called. It's in Greensboro, or Charlotte, North Carolina this week, and that's going to be another probably $6,000. We're thinking hopefully the company that did the work on our engine that messed up some things are going to fix it for us, but you pray about that. It's one of those deals. I've actually contacted Dr. Gibbs, CLA, and he's offered to help us if we need it, but you pray this company will work with us on our bus and pay the bills that they've messed up for us and they're responsible for. But Psalm 122, verse number 1, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was reading this verse back in May. We were in Frederick, Maryland, Ambassador Baptist Church. And when I got to that word "they," I was asking myself the question right in the middle of reading it, who are the "they"? David said, "I was glad when they said." We hear all the time, they say that this happens, they say that that happens. We watch the news, they say. And I'm always asking, who are the "they" that they're talking about? Well, in that service that night was a friend of ours who was a member of the church I was going to be at the next night preaching. And Brother Brian's his name. Brother Brian took it upon himself to go and study it out, who the "they" were. Brother Brian came Monday afternoon. He called me over to the side and he said, "I figured out who the "they" were. The "they" are the people of God. These Psalms 120 through 134, the pilgrim or ascent psalms, as the tribes go up to Jerusalem for the feast days, the feast of the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the Tabernacles, they are singing or chanting these songs as they walk. Psalm 120 was sung as the march to Jerusalem began. Psalm 121, the hills of Jerusalem come into view. Psalm 122, Jerusalem itself comes into view. Psalm 123, the temple comes into view. And he said his conclusion was that it was the congregation of the people assembled together themselves in unity to Jerusalem for the particular feast, the Passover, the Pentecost, the Tabernacles, and they sang these songs as they're marching towards Jerusalem. They're saying, "Hey, we get to go to the house of God. We get to go to church. We get to go worship a true and a holy and a living God. We are singing." And can you imagine thousands of people or millions of people, I guess, in some aspects, chanting at one time? David said they're saying, "We get to go to the house of God." How our lives would be different if Sunday mornings we woke up and we had this idea, "I don't have to go to church today. I get to go." If we were to start in my family, I know it seemed like Sunday mornings are the worst time in the world for us to get up and get going and go to church, but it's amazing how many people, Baptist people even, forsake this place. This is probably the most forsaken place in all the country. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, the house of God. My wife and myself, we've been building a house. This coming December will be 4 years we have been working on building our house. It's hard to do when you're on the road, seem like 385 days a year. We work on it when we have the chance. We work on it when we have a week off, a few days. Some guys will come in and help me. And in those 4 years that we've been building, we have worked a total of about 16 weeks and 2 days. I had a couple guys come with us last week and put some tile down in my bathroom. So in the 16 weeks and 2 days that we've actually worked on our house in the 4 year span, we've got a lot done. But over this 16 weeks, I've went up to the Crossroads Rescue Mission. Brother Rocky Shelton, good friend of ours, And we love that place. And over the 4 years that I've had the work going on at my house, I went up to the rescue mission and I've asked them if I could bring some guys down to the house to help me.
I've had probably in the 16 weeks, maybe 40 to 50 guys, different guys, come in. They come in when I put shingles on my house. They come in when we were framing. They come when we were putting up sheetrock. They've helped me do a lot of things working on our house. These guys get in my van 3-4 at a time, and some of them's been with me several times, so I know their story, know where they're from. But the new guys, when they get in my van, I ask them right off the bat what their name is and where they're from. Probably out of the 50, maybe 50 guys that's been to my house, 45, 46, 47 of them, they told me the town they were from. I could name a good Baptist church in their area. And most of them's response is, yeah, I know that church. My daddy goes to that church, or my mama goes to that church, or my grandparents, or even they themselves saying, that's the church I'm out of. Yeah. Brother Durbin, I ask them the question, what's your story? Why are you in the Crossroads Rescue Mission? A lot of them tell me that they got hurt playing sports. They blew out a knee, or they blew out an arm, or some of them said, I own my own business and I fell off a ladder, got hurt on the job. And a lot of them story is they got addicted to pain pills. Yes, sir. You're right. Legalized drug addiction. Doctors writing prescriptions, feeding the habit. And these men say, I've lost everything because of my addiction. Some of them tell me that they got involved in illegal drugs, illegal this. Alcohol was a big part of their life. And they said, we just got to the place where our addictions consumed us. We lost our businesses. We lost pretty well our lives. We lost our husband. We lost our wives. We lost our children. We lost everything trying to feed our addiction. And I promise you, church, most of the guys have made this statement in one form or fashion or another. Their statement is, we lost the importance of the house of God. We lost the importance of church. We had to work on Sundays to feed our addiction. We had to work and miss out Sunday nights on Wednesday nights. And we just basically lost the importance of the house of God. And I know this is probably the choir I'm preaching to this afternoon. This is the camp meeting people. These are the ones that are in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe we ought to have a desire in our hearts as children of God. And maybe some of us just need to be reminded today. You said it just a while ago. I believe, Brother Jimmy, you said it. Even in full-time service, being in church three times a week or whenever the doors are open, we just get a little used to church. We just get a little bit comfortable, maybe. Complacent. We're here because it is Sunday morning. We're here because this week it is camp meeting. We just need to be reminded some things of how important this place is. The place, the four walls here, where we come in for just a couple of hours on Sunday morning. We come in for a couple of hours on Sunday night. We come in for a couple of hours on Wednesday night. And we're here 6, maybe 8 hours a week. And we come in to separate ourselves from the cares of the world for just a little while. And we focus on the things of God. We focus on bowing down to the King of Kings and realizing why we're here. We're here to meet with God. And I'm glad we can come into God's house. Even if it's a Friday afternoon, we can still come into God's house and find God at home. And God's not here to just want to take part. God is here to want to take over today. He's wanting us to see Him, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a place where God has set apart for us to come in and to worship Him. We hear this all the time. Well, I can meet with God on the golf course. I can meet with God on the bass boat. Sunday is a big day for racing, and I probably some race car fans in here. I'm not against racing. I love to listen to it on Sunday afternoons while I'm driving. I love to play golf. I love to fish every once in a while, and I'm not against those things, but I believe God chooses not to meet with the man on the golf course on Sunday morning. I believe God Himself chooses not to meet with the man on the bass boat on Sunday. I believe God chooses not to meet with men at the racetrack or a baseball diamond because their minds are not on the things of God. If a man's on the golf course, his mind is on a hole-in-one. His mind is on a good score, a birdie or an eagle. In my case, a triple bogey. But God, their mind is not on meeting with God. Their minds are not on worshiping God. Their mind is on everything else but the things of God. On the bass boat, I promise you, a man's mind is not on God. His mind is on the 10-pound or 12-pound or 15-pound rock bass that he wants to reel in. And if a man's at the racetrack, his mind is on his favorite number, going around that track, hoping that number captures the checkered flag. And I believe today, church, we just need to be reminded of how important this place is. I'm glad we can come into God's house. We can find God at home. I'm glad the church is the place. God did say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. God has set this place right here on the side of the road or wherever it is you go to church. So Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever you have service. I believe it's our job as Christians. I believe it's our duty to come in to the house of God and to meet with God and to realize that's why we're here. This is our sanctity. This is our sanctuary. We're here to separate ourselves from the cares of the world for just a little while and pull ourselves under the table of God's food, and we're to eat from what thus saith the Word of God. We're to feed our souls to face what's out there. This is where we get our fill up for the week and for on Sundays and Wednesdays. This is where we come in and we fill ourselves up to face what's going to happen out there the rest of the week. Amen. The importance of the house of God. Number one, I believe it's important because it is, as I've alluded to, it is the place where we come in and we meet with God the Father. I believe we're in here today for one reason. And that reason is not to hear the Rochester sing. That reason is not to hear the preachers preach. I believe that reason is to ultimately meet with God Himself. We're here to realize that He is in control. He is our Savior. And our bowing down goes to Him. Our worship goes to Him. Our praise goes to Him. We're here for one reason. And that one reason is to lift Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why we're here. If you're here for any other reason today, you're here for the wrong reason. This is God's house. We're here to meet with God. We're here to see Him. We're here to lift Him up. We're here to point men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, to meet with God Almighty. It's not about big-time egos and personalities. It's not about talents. We're here to see Him. That name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said, hey, at that name, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm not here to promote a name to you today. I'm not here to promote a man. I'm here to promote the man Christ Jesus. And we're here to see Him. We're here to point these little ones who may not know. Brother Jimmy, you said some of your kids don't even know the saving knowledge. That's about church. It's about pointing them to Jesus Christ. If we're here for any other reason, church, we're here for the wrong reason. That reason ought to be to see Him. Everything the preacher says, it ought to point men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. It's about Him. That's why we're here. We're in God's house. This place is important because we're here to meet with God the Father. Number two, we're not only here to meet with God, but I believe the importance of the church house, it's a place where we can lead our families. I promise you, mamas and daddies, your kids won't learn about God in the public school. I promise you, mamas and daddies, they won't learn about it watching the Disney Channel. They won't learn about God unless it's in some kind of mockery on the newspapers there at the checkout line. They won't learn about God just in society as a whole, seemingly. They will learn about God, though, if you take the 10 o'clock hour, 9:45 or 9:30, whenever you start Sunday school. They will take probably the most important time in the life of some of our kids is to bring them to Sunday school. They will hear about Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. They will hear that it's one man and one woman. They will hear about Noah and how God delivered Noah through the flood. They will hear about Moses up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. They will hear about David slowing Goliath with the help of Almighty God. They will hear about the gospel. And they will hear the most important story they'll ever hear in their life. It's how Christ died for the sins of the world. They will hear about the love of God. They will hear that, but they'll hear it in the house of God. They will hear about that greatest story ever told in the house of God. And I promise you, moms and daddies, probably most of us sitting in the building today, we do realize this. Church will be as important to that age right there. But Jimmy, when he gets your age and you're a grandpa one of these days, church will be as important to him then as it is to you right now. When my girls get old enough to have children of their own, get married and have children of their own, I don't want them to have to make the decision we have to go to church. I want them to have the attitude that we ought to have. We get to go to church. It's a privilege we have to come in. And when they get old enough to have families of their own, I want them to want to lead their family to the house of God. I don't want them to go just because daddy thought it was good and just because daddy said it was right. No, I want them to go because they have a desire and know that this is where they're supposed to be. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, missions calls. I want them to think of the place of church as an important place in their lives. Everything we do, church, it ought to be based around on what's going on at the house of God. It's too many things going on out there. The Little League baseball, the Little League football, and I'm not against that. But friend, it used to be a day when they canceled Little League baseball if revival was going on. There used to be a day when the superintendent or the director of all the athletics would call the church and they'd say, hey, you got anything going on this week? No. But now for everything out there is taking place of what's going on. And people don't mind missing the house of God for everything this world has to offer. Everything is taking the place of the church. Sunday morning ball games, Wednesday night ball games. And I promise you, I'm not against ball. Go watch little Johnny hit a home run. Friend, I want you to know, if it's more important for them to have a great hit batting average, if it's more important for them to be on base every time than it is for them to be under the preaching of the Word of God, than it is to know that it's all about old-time religion, old-time preaching, old-time praying, old-time praising God. If you want to flood their minds with things that's more important than the church, I promise you, mamas and daddies, you will be raising a pagan. You will be raising a generation who knows nothing about God. But if you want them to hear about salvation, if you want them to have a chance to go to heaven, then I suggest you let them know this is an important place. This is where they'll hear. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus says this is where they'll hear that they're a hell-deserving sinner. But Christ, who is rich in mercy, gave Himself. They will have a better chance of being saved by coming to church than they will out there on the diamond, than they will out there in the football field. They will have a better chance of being saved if you as a parent chooses to lead them to the house of God. Brother Dusty won't have to preach to them behind bars. And I know there's a chance that'll still happen even if you keep them. But the Bible does say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. He may go out there and try to sow his wild oats. But while he's out there sowing his wild oats, I promise you, those thoughts will be coming around. Those things of goodness and mercy, they'll come around and they'll think, what would Daddy think of me now? I should be in the house of God. It'll come back. It's a place where we don't have to send our kids. We can bring them ourselves. And we can equip them for this life. We can equip them against the darts, fiery darts of the devil. We can equip them against that roaring lion, that adversary who's out to seek and destroy every one of our youngins. Church will be as important to them in a few years down the road as it is to us right now. And I promise you, mamas and daddies, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now. Our ministry that we have, our kids are a big part of that. I don't want them to ever get tired of, do we have to go to church again? They've said that when they were little. It's because if we didn't have fun, if we didn't have fun in church, we wouldn't have fun nowhere because we're in church all the time. But mamas and daddies, I want you to know, myself included, it's important that the next generation knows that this place is where they ought to be. Every time the doors are open, a Bible believing, Bible preaching. And since we're in the Grace Baptist Church, I'm going to go ahead and say it, a Baptist church. Everything God does, God will do through, by, and for. The local New Testament Bible believing, Bible preaching church. Missionaries are sent out by the church. Evangelists are sent out by the church. Any ministry that goes above the doors of the church is not a ministry of God. It's a ministry of the world. Everything ought to be under the church. The church is way up here. Christ is the head of the church. He said He gave Himself for the church. God loves the church. And everything goes through the church. It's not above the church. Everything ought to go through, by, and for the local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. God does everything. God will send revival through the church. And I want our kids to know just how important this place is. This is an important place. And I've said it earlier, this is the camp meeting crowd. You already know this. But I believe every time I preach this message, there ought to be some kind of recommitment. Rededication upon the lives of God's people. Because we can be weary in well-doing. If we couldn't, the Lord wouldn't have said, be not weary in well-doing. I believe we can be weary in well-doing. And I believe when our weariness comes, it affects our church, the way our attitude towards the church. When problems come, first thing we want to do, miss out on church. Troubles and trials and heartaches come, the first thing we want to do is miss out on church. When that ought to be the last resort. This is where you're going to get your help. This is where your family is going to get help. This is where your children is going to get help. This is where they can hear the gospel right here in the church. Number three, and I'm done. Not only it's a place where we can come in and meet with God the Father, it's a place where we can lead our families. It's a place where we can fellowship with the brethren. We were at Brother Dave's church the other night, Wednesday night. They had master's clubs. Preacher, they brought in, I don't know how many, Brother Ricky, 60, 50, 60 kids. There's kids over here on my right side. There's kids over here on our left side. We get to singing a big old fast banjo song, and I look over here to my left, and there's kids kicking up their legs. I mean, they're enjoying. You say, didn't that bother you, them move? No, I was wishing some of the adults would move like them kids was moving. But I looked over here to my right. We were about, I don't know, maybe just about done with the song. And during they had a little handshaking fellowship time, and I went over to this side. I think this was the first, second, and third graders over here to my right. There's probably 15, 20 kids sitting over here to our right. And I'm sitting right back here during the fellowship time. And I make it a point to go over here and shake every one of these little first, second, and third graders' hands. I asked one little boy what his name was. And he tells me his name. And then he looks down at this other little fella and he says, this is my little brother right here. And he looks across the aisle over to the side of my left and he said, and that's our big brother right over there. Don't remember their names, but while we were singing one of our songs in the second set, I looked over and this bigger brother that was on this side was down sitting on his bottom side and had his little brother sitting right in front of him and he was tying his little brother's shoe. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting ready to preach this church message here in just a little bit. And that's exactly why I'm here. I'm here to help my brother along. I'm here to let him know that if he needs some encouragement while I'm here, then I want to be the one to give it to him. This is a place where we come in and we fellowship with the brethren. We're here to let you know that this world is about as bad as it's going to get for the child of God. Everything that's going on out there, it's as bad as it's going to get for the child of God. And I'm here to encourage you. Just keep on fighting the good fight of faith. I'm here to let you know that encouragement comes from the brethren. Fellowship gives us another reason just to go on. We're here to push one another along. We're here to be stepping stones and not stumbling blocks. We just stopped by Madisonville, Kentucky tonight to let you know that it's all right out there. God's going to take care of things out there. You just go another mile. The things you get in here today, it'll help you go on. It'll help you face the fight. fiery darts of the devil, the fellowship. We're here to encourage one another along. We're here not to fight against each other. We're all fighting for the same cause. We've got one common enemy, and that enemy is the devil himself. I'm here to let you know, go on out there and go another mile. Go on out there and face another trial. We serve a great God. We serve a God who will let us come in and get filled up today, and we'll face the world tomorrow, and we'll face the world next week. And I'm here to encourage you. It's all right. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. We can get that every time we come into the house of God. There'll be a brother who may be the only one that knows you're going through a battle. And they can put their hand on your shoulder and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you. If there's anything I can do, you let me know." We didn't come in today to talk about the weather. We didn't come in today to talk about the sports or the politics, and them's all good subjects we could talk about. But we come in today to encourage one another up in the house of God to let you know we're going to make it. I've already read the last chapter. We've won. We're on the winning side. And I say keep on fighting. Keep on going. Keep on coming to church. Don't get used to coming to church. Let this be an important place where you come in and you get encouragement to face another day, to face another trial. Preacher, come on. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." God, I pray that you bless Brother R. I pray that, Lord, that you give him wisdom and guidance and leadership tonight. Lord, whatever remains in this service, I pray that you'd fill him with power and give him direction. Thank you for each person that's here. God, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged as a part of being in the house of the Lord. Touch hearts and change lives, and everything that's said and done, we'll be careful to praise you in Christ's name. Amen.